Chapter 3. Trumpets of Democracy, Drums of Gasoline. Oil has literally made foreign and security policy for decades. Just since the turn of this century, it has provoked the division of the Middle East after World War I, aroused Germany and Japan to extend their tentacles beyond their borders, the Arab oil embargo, Iran versus Iraq, the Gulf War. This is all clear. Bill Richardson, U.S. Secretary of Energy, 1999. A quick look at the map is all it takes. It's no coincidence that the map of terror in the Middle East and Central Asia is practically interchangeable with the map of oil. There's infinite justice, enduring freedom, and everlasting profits to be made. Asia Times, 2002. The need to dominate oil from Iraq is also deeply intertwined with the defense of the dollar. Its current strength is supported by OPEC's requirement, secured by a secret agreement between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, that all OPEC sales be denominated in dollars. Peter Dale Scott, 2003. He, Karl Rove, turned out millions of the foot soldiers on November 2nd, including many who have made the apocalypse a powerful driving force in modern American politics. It's why the invasion of Iraq was for them a warm-up act, predicted in the Book of Revelation. A war with Islam in the Middle East is not something to be feared, but welcomed. An essential conflagration on the road to redemption. Bill Moyers, 2004. Each epigraph above distills a different aspect of the 2003 invasion of Iraq. They are all compatible, though, because the attack, while at bottom about access to oil and U.S. global supremacy, had other intentions. One was to fold oil objectives into the global war against terror. A second was to cement the U.S. dollar's hegemonic role in global oil sales, and thus in the world economy. A third was to keep the invasion's purpose broad enough to allow the biblically minded Christian right to see it, at least partially, as a destruction of the New Babylon on the road to Armageddon and redemption. None of these motivations excuse the fundamental deceits of Anglo-American policymakers. Speaking on behalf of George W. Bush, White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer insisted on February 6, 2003, that if this had anything to do with oil, the position of the United States would be to lift the sanctions so the oil could flow. This is not about that. This is about saving lives by protecting the American people. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had in November 2002 likewise declared that it has nothing to do with oil, literally nothing to do with oil. British Prime Minister Tony Blair, for his part, told members of Parliament in early 2003, "Let me deal with the conspiracy theory idea that this is somehow to do with oil. There is no way whatever, if oil were the issue, that it would not be infinitely simpler to cut a deal with Saddam." All three statements, each of which came back to haunt its maker, are all but lies. Oil was a critical factor. The thin, partial truth of these denials, very thin, very partial, lay in the fact that broader concerns were also at work. For one thing, as we will see, the Bush administration knew that the oil peak crisis probably posed strategic dangers far beyond those publicly acknowledged. The dollar's role as the world's reserve currency was also tied to oil. Besides which, seizing Iraq as a military base come oil reservoir would allow U.S. troops to be pulled out of vulnerable Saudi Arabia, where their presence was breeding discontent and terrorism. At the same time, biblically attuned pro-war constituencies would have been alienated by any emphasis on oil or any oil-related peril to the U.S. dollar. In the Left Behind series, which religious right leader Jerry Falwell called the most influential books since the Bible, the godly heroes did not deal in oil. Only the malevolent Antichrist, based in New Babylon, did that. This aligns with the insistence that the United States and Britain were fighting not for oil, heaven forfend, or to stop OPEC or Islamic leaders from pricing petroleum in euros, but to bring freedom, liberty, and democracy to the Middle East. This hoary claim, the pedigree of which dates to the post-World War I period and the phraseology of President Woodrow Wilson and the British Foreign Secretary Lord Curzon, bears little relation to the last century of actual Anglo-American regional involvement. As the drumbeat for war in Iraq sounded in 2002 and early 2003, part of the ensuing confusion arose because practically none of the true stakes or political motivations were acknowledged. Oil, the oil-linked value of the dollar, and religious expectations alike. But 100 years of petro-imperialism in the Persian Gulf were about to come to a head.